Welcome to It's a Lot of Pressure podcast, episode 11. I'm Lori Farnworth.
And I'm Adrienne Kirtland, and we're two working moms trying to figure out how to keep it all together.
Today we'll be talking about how we deal with all the decisions we have to make on a daily basis as working mothers. I mean, honestly, it's a lot of pressure. Here we are. We're back. Our last podcast was recorded on July 15th, so it's been a minute.
It is now minute.
It's now September 4th, and we don't even have fancy drinks today.
No
coffee, no fancy beverages. So, but we both have water cups, so we'll clink our water cups. That sounds terrible.
It does.
But yeah, our actual...
It sounds as depressing as our first try at our intro.
Yeah, like we had to record the intro twice because the first one we were like, it's a lot of pressure and we make decisions.
Because it is. Hard. There's so many decisions.
So we were so excited that we were on the ball and recording regularly back in July. I mean, we were on it. We were doing it sometimes twice a week. And we had episodes that were like out ahead that, you know, that we were ready.
We were lined up with more topics.
We had extra episodes ready
and
to go.
And then we got emails from our schools.
Yeah. Okay. So school dates began shifting. COVID numbers were just not conducive to opening schools. So, you know, all scenarios were thrown out. We go on hybrid. Is it all remote? Is it sort of hybrid? Is everybody going to go anyway?
Do you feel like it's Yahtzee? Like, let's put all the options in a ball, jar, and shake it out and see what happens.
I remember when, hearing from administration saying that, yeah, we have like option A through Z. And
right.
I was going, what? I mean, like, I can only fathom about four. I don't know what these
Talk
other
about decision
could
fatigue.
Be. Oh my
Can
gosh.
Can you imagine those people that have to make those decisions? I don't envy them. I'm not excited about the way that things have happened for the school systems, but I don't envy them.
Administration, they are trying to do a lot of things, and it's hard, and we all need grace, right?
For sure.
So teachers had to start planning for, the unplanned plan or something. Didn't know how to plan because, gosh, how do you plan for something that you don't know what it is? I mean, you don't even know what it looks like. We know what we had at the end of the year last year, so we're thinking, is it going to look like that? Is it going to be different? It's my first year as the media specialist, the school librarian.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
You had to take on new role, new room, new things, plus in the middle of this where you don't even know if you're going to be able to see kids.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, this is my dream job, too. So
for sure.
So
you're like, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
I'm in a happy place. So
I will
that's
do
okay.
it in a bubble.
And
it's
then
fine.
Your husband is also a teacher, and we all have kids in school. You know, you're a nurse. You know, all this stuff, it just threw a wrench in our plans. And I don't even know.
You know how I love plans.
Yeah.
I love plans. I like lists and calendars and plans. And it didn't matter how many times we made a plan that didn't actually happen.
Right.
So for us, like, okay, let's say since July 15th, we were supposed to, my middle is four, almost five, was supposed to play T-ball in April. And so they decided that we're just going to keep postponing it. So finally we started playing in July. So we didn't have our first baseball game till like mid to late July. And then our last baseball game was the first week of school. So not a great plan for that. But it seemed like everything started at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like
all
of a sudden we have baseball we have to go to. And then all the new rules for baseball. My oldest had been swimming, but it was at the outdoor pool. The parents couldn't go in. It's very small groups. We felt very safe about it. It was fine.
Well, and swimming's kind of an individual sport. So it's not a
There's
team.
There's no contact.
Yeah, exactly.
And so even when they were doing what they call dry land, like working out, warming up before they get in the water, they were very safe and very particular about how this is going to happen. They had little like hula hoops on the ground that they'd work out inside of so that they weren't close to other kids. Like they had it worked out. But now we're going to throw baseball into this. You want me to sit in stands next to other people? It just became a mess. And then my husband coaches swimming. So then there were all these extra rules from the IHSAA that parents or that regulate sports for the state of Indiana for high school students. So they were very particular, like you can have no contact. They weren't letting kids in the school buildings. So there's been all sorts of a mess, just absolutely a mess.
It was chaotic. Yeah. You know, we didn't do this. We didn't have everything having to start all at once for us. And we didn't feel that. I saw it on your end because, you know, we would invite you over for swimming or something to swim in the pool. And you go, we got baseball at such and such time. And, you know, so there was a lot going on there. But for us, we spent most of our time outside in the pool swimming or playing video games. We just rotated between the two.
That would have been a better option.
So I had no interest in really starting up any kind of activity. I was like, well, we're just going to hang tight. We got the pool. And we're going to roll with that. Give the dog some walks and swims. She likes to swim in the pool too. So throw the ball in and let the dog swim. And thank goodness for the Switch because we've been playing video games like mad, or the kids have. I play a little bit with them, but mostly it's just them. And my daughter tried horse lessons. It actually went okay the first couple lessons, but, you know, it was a little more grooming focused those first couple lessons. And then we got a little bit of riding time.
Any sport, you have to learn the rules of the sport.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you're going horseback riding. You have to groom the horse. This is like part of the sport. We got to take care of the horses. So, you know, we finally got to one lesson that was going to be like, this is going to be the typical lesson. Show up a half hour early, groom your horses. And I was taking lessons too. So my daughter has a horse that she's riding. I have a horse that I'm riding. And, you know, we groom the horses, get them all ready, saddled up. We go in the arena and we're out there riding, learning all this stuff. You know, I'm learning things too, and I'm excited. And, I'm thinking about all of the things you got to do with your body and where to look and all of the stuff to control your horse. 30 minutes in, it's an hour long lesson. 30 minutes in, my daughter is complaining and going, she's crying and she's upset and she's tired and her body hurts and she's just like, I don't want to do this.
It's
and
a
I
lot
was
of
like,
work.
Okay, well, that's cool. You know, the thing is, she went to horse camp for a week last summer, a full week, like full days.
Right.
But they're not riding nonstop. Like they're, you know, they were like doing crafts here and there and painting the horses and all kinds of cutesy stuff.
Right.
I think she thought horse lessons
would be like,
in camp with horses.
Right.
Once a week. No. You're learning the sport of horseback riding.
You saved yourself some money, my friend.
I did. That was they weren't cheap. But I was a little bummed myself because I was taking the lessons too. But anyway, So that's where we are.
That's where we are. That's what we've been doing. All the things for us for my house started all at the same time, and so we kind of felt like we had to adjust to that. And then school started, which is a whole new world.
It is
now. So as you know, and then. Not only that, but then we both had possible exposures that shut us down. Like we kept making plans and then we get to the end of the day like, no, this isn't happening today. This isn't happening today. So we started talking about this like ongoing, I hate to use the word again, but like pressure that we were feeling. Like, what is happening? Why am I so tired? Physically, I don't feel that I'm doing all that much.
No.
because for my job, I sit at a computer. Now, my computer migrates with me through the house depending on what we're doing at the time and what my children are doing at the time. But I'm sitting or standing at the kitchen counter working. I'm not physically taking care of patients in the hospital anymore. I'm not, but I am exhausted by the end of the day. So what is that terminology? Where is that? And I don't know which one of us said it, but like this decision fatigue, there are so many things that have to be decided and some of it can be planned ahead, but some of it is in the moment and there's just so much that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as a mom, we have to be on all day. If there's a child in front of you, you have to be on.
Yeah.
And so that is exhausting. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely draining. We have now with school starting back, we have in the morning, everybody's up, dressed, brush your teeth,
hair done.
Breakfast. Yeah, you have hair situation. Hair. I don't
you're,
have hair.
You're
that.
Working on hair. I have You'll boys. Get hair.
The,
You'll
my get boys hair. Are older, so we don't have the hair. But up, dressed, brush your teeth, argue about all the clothes. Why don't you have socks on? Everybody downstairs, it's time for breakfast. Here are your two options for breakfast. Pick one.
My big battle with that whole thing is I don't want to go pee. Yes, you have to go pee. Everyone goes pee in the morning, but I don't want to. I don't have to go. And so, well, you're not going to be able to watch your show if you don't go pee. And it's just a back and forth. That's just those kinds of arguments.
That's what the middle one is. I don't like these shorts. You wore them last week just fine. I don't like them. Can you tie them for me? Sure. But who's going to tie them later? I don't know. And we go into full meltdown. So that's two or three times before we leave the house in the morning. The middle one has a complete meltdown. And then it's breakfast, pack the lunches, one off on the bus. Did you put your mask on? Where's your mask? Now that's a new question we
have
to ask.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you have to add that one.
And don't you feel bad for the kids? Like, they're bombarded with all these questions.
I do.
That I'm asking them all day. But at the same time, it's the same question I ask them every day, so they should just know by now.
Right. But with ours, you know, the mask with ours is I have so many cute patterns. It's which mask are you going to wear today?
Five identical masks that hang on a hook by the back door.
Oh, no, mine like all the cutesy patterns. So we have a zillion different types of masks. And we've tried lots of different ones. Yeah. So it's like, it's not that big of a deal with the daughter. She pretty much goes back and forth between a couple.
Yeah.
My son, he wants a different one every time. He really likes variety.
We have one hanging in the car. That they wear, like, if we go into the grocery store or something.
It's ready
and it's
to go.
Hanging on a hook in the car.
Yeah.
And then there's hooks by the back door
that
all the clean ones hang on.
Yeah.
And they pick one as they walk out the door.
I like that. That's nice
that
and clean.
That one small thing, like, actually made me feel like I have control.
That's really a smart thing because what you're doing is you are eliminating one of those crazy decisions that has to be made.
Where are the masks?
And I have just... I've like just created more
because that gives me anxiety that I then have to ask, which mask do you want to wear today? No.
I think it's because I like to wear all the different color, the variety of masks.
That's so probably true.
I try to allow them to have the same.
Well, and you have to wear one all day.
I do.
I wear one when I go into places, but I'm at home.
It makes
during the day.
It makes a big difference. So, you know, I feel like. One of the things that helps me is trying to have transitions between all of those decisions, you know? I mean, we do make decisions all day long, you know, in schools we make decisions all day. As a mom, we make decisions all day. When I get my kids from school, I try to. It doesn't work out every time. But I try to give them some quiet time, or not really quiet time. I like to have some quiet time.
Some
but
decompression
I like to
time.
Give them some time to go chill, go do something, like go play a game, go watch a show or something before we sit down together and have dinner. Doesn't always work out perfect, but it is a nice time to kind of get some space, everybody to get their own thing together. I like to have a little quiet time before I actually pick them up. So sometimes in that quiet time, I'll like take my dog out back and let her swim some laps, or mm-hmm. I'll just sit on the couch and stare into the abyss, whatever. Right. but, you know, this like you were saying, with all of these decisions adding up, the mental load of the pandemic plus trying to get back to whatever kind of normal sort of situation this is that we're creating.
And I think that's what leads a lot to the pressure that we're feeling.
Yeah.
Is because we are trying to get there.
Right.
We're trying to push ourselves back to quote unquote normal. But now, okay, so baseball shouldn't be that big of a deal. But now there's all these new rules imposed
and not extra normal, precautions. Really.
And it's not normal. It's not normal for your four-year-old to be out there playing in a mask.
No.
Like, it's not normal.
No.
That's where we are. And we're trying to force all of this, and the kids are feeling it too.
Yeah, and it's exhausting.
It is.
It's really exhausting. I feel like by the time we get to dinner and dinner's over, it's like a countdown. Like, we're counting down to bedtime. Is it bedtime yet? Let's get them all to bed. You know, it feels like that for me a lot of times. And then by the time the kids are asleep, a lot of times I'm just out.
Right.
I've got nothing left. Yeah. I'd like to do something creative or watch something. Well, sometimes I'm watching something, but that's kind of zombie behavior. But I like to, you know, read or things like that. And I just have no processing power left.
Right. I completely agree with that. Which, because I'm home all day, transition is a tricky situation, just because there's usually someone around, because I have the two-year-old there. Mm-hmm. And so there's just always somebody around that needs something. The other thing is our afternoons are so busy with homework and getting out of the house on time for swimming. So we, you know, this can start to get like a complaining session of all the things that we have to do.
Oh, it can.
All the decisions.
I don't want it to be that way, but, you know, sometimes it's okay to get it all out there. Because I feel like also, you know, we're not alone.
We're
not.
I mean,
this is something that the whole world is dealing with.
Right.
The whole world and most of this country. But... in specific.
Absolutely.
But the whole world is dealing with this and trying to get back on our feet and trying to figure out how to make it all work and how to live during a pandemic.
Yeah.
How do you feel like a human right now? Because it's starting to feel sometimes like I'm in a dystopian novel.
It does. It does. And normal things, small things, like, can you see your friends if you also then the same weekend need to see family who is at super high risk? Well, I probably shouldn't go see those friends.
Yeah.
Just in case. Those are the things now that we've never had to process before. And add that in to.
Totally.
Like, can we do a play date with those people that I don't know? I don't know where they go all day. I don't know if they're taking the same precautions that we're taking.
Goodness.
So we've got the threat of exposure of our kids being mm-hmm. in the classroom, my husband being in the classroom all day.
I'm getting ready to start up with Girl Scouts.
Right.
So that's a whole, you know, trying to figure out how to make all that work. We're getting there. We're going to get there.
Oh, my goodness. Whew. So when we were talking about these things, like, absolutely, it seems like we're like, all of these things are wrong and all of these pressures that we feel, and this sucks. But at the same time, you know, we have over time worked on things that we know work for our families and things that don't. So for us, because Monday through Thursday, my oldest has swimming at 5:30 and it's like a 12-minute drive to get there. And we get home at 7. So obviously the little people, the 4 and the 2, cannot wait until that long to eat dinner.
Right.
And not only that, my 8-year-old can't either. Like, to be fair, he can't wait that long.
Right.
So we eat dinner at 4:30. So that means while I'm still working, because my work day goes until 5, I have to answer emails till 5, even if I'm already finished with my day. So I have to have my laptop at the computer, or my laptop at the kitchen counter, and we've instituted, like, back into the kitchen hour, but I don't include the little people because the third graders' homework is so much more intense this year. So... which I get it. I really do. They're trying to see what they lost and where they are, but it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure for him, and he's already feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for him. So meal planning is so essential.
Yeah.
Like, I start cooking, depending on what I'm making, mm-hmm. between 3:45 and 4, and we are sitting down to eat at 4:30.
Yeah, it still blows my mind whenever you mention that 4:30 dinner time.
4:30 we eat dinner.
You know, I shouldn't say we've never done this. I mean, when my daughter was in dance, which she yeah. did dance for 3 years, when she was in dance... we had on dance days, which was mm-hmm. Tuesday nights, we had dinner at 4:30 so right. we could make it all work.
Mm-hmm.
But that was only one night a week, not every single night.
But the thing is because I think it's Monday through Thursday.
It's your
like,
routine.
It's just the routine.
It's your routine. And the kids are used to it and yeah. they're used to eating at that time. You guys are probably even like, I'm hungry by the time 4:30 rolls around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Today we ate dinner with some family and it's like, guys, it's like 5:15. My people are melting down. They are melting down. So
see, mine hit that at 5:30. We'll get 5:30. If there's not food somewhere nearby, somebody can at least have a snack. We got a problem on our hands.
But also bedtimes are earlier.
Yeah, your
like
bedtime,
our whole life is just set back. Like on daylight savings time, like 1 or 2 hours back from the rest of the world.
I mean, I cook and I do cook, you know, often, I guess. But we also do carry out probably once a week to save our decisions.
Sure.
I mean, we still have to decide on the carry out. And sometimes that can be
mm-hmm. yeah.
a bit of a hassle. Like, what do you want? I don't care. What do you want? The I don't care back and forth at each other.
Oh,
it's kind of like.
But that's where we are.
You know, should we?
It's like you've asked me to make another decision.
We need to spin a wheel.
Right.
A dinner wheel.
You're not going to like where it lands, though.
I know, and then I'm going to go, well, we're not getting that. It's a different one. Or that one's too expensive for tonight. The
right.
kids won't eat that one.
That's what it is. Like, why bother? They're not going to eat it.
Well, that's the thing. Usually with us with the carryout, and not always, it depends what it is, but a lot of times with the carryout, it's for us, and the kids will probably eat something else, and that's fine.
Yeah.
They don't care as much about getting nuggets and hot dogs every day. They'd be cool.
They're fine with that.
With
mine
that
are
every
too.
Day.
My oldest told me the other day that he much prefers, and that's what he said too.
I much prefer
the chicken nuggets cooked in the air fryer versus in the microwave.
Well, of course. Who wouldn't? My
right,
goodness.
But we got an air fryer during the pandemic. This is new for him.
Oh,
so he told me that they taste better that way. And then he'll ask me what we're having for dinner and whatever I say. He's like, are we putting them in the air fryer?
Ooh.
Yeah. He's very
nice.
Advanced.
Very nice.
He's very concerned about processed chicken nuggets.
Freezer meals are a big hit with us, too. Like, if I don't have something at the ready, I grab a lasagna out of the freezer. I grab, like, I had a chili. You know, you were making your fancy soup the other day, and I was like, I think I'm going to do chili tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grabbed my chili that I made in the spring, grabbed my chili out of the freezer, put it in the fridge, and I'm like, that's tomorrow, kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids aren't eating it. I just said kids, because that's the way I talk.
Your kids don't eat it.
No, they don't eat chili.
Mine eat chili.
Mine won't.
Now, everyone
chili.
Has it in a different form.
Yeah.
Like each
like with
one,
different stuff on it.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what you put on it. Can't dress it up for them. Anyway. But that's helped us a little bit.
I've started meal prepping for myself and somewhat my husband too. So I always have something to eat that's mm-hmm. healthier, that's prepped and ready to go.
Well,
that I can
healthy.
Always
yeah.
that I can always eat.
That's great.
So if I don't feel like arguing with the people to eat the food that I want to make, then I will just say it's a chicken nugget night and then I'll eat my stuff whenever.
Right.
Because sometimes I don't have enough energy to argue with them.
Of course. My goodness. Who does?
No. So besides the food, the homework has to be planned because it has to happen before 7. He is done.
Right.
When he gets home from swimming.
Of course.
I mean, he just swam for an hour and a half. He's done.
That burns you out.
Right. And he doesn't go to sleep right away. Like, I don't put him to bed right away, but he goes to his room and he can read or play Legos or something. But he has to be quiet in his room. And then usually around 8 o'clock, he's already turned his own light off and he's like almost asleep. Wow. So, right.
Yeah. But you got the bedtime stuff.
He's on the bus before 7. Like,
yeah,
that's not even 12 hours that he's down, you know? So and then now with laundry and housework, like, okay, my weekdays that I'm off, I need to get more done because now the decision fatigue weighing on my husband is so much more evident that he is just completely in a different mental world after mm-hmm. what they're asking them to do the high school. He's got a lot of restrictions. He's an English teacher and he's got so much that he's required to do for the online kids and for the kids that are in the classroom at the same time. And he's teaching both avenues at the same time.
It's a lot to ask him. Hard.
A few days with no prep. Like he's enough. He's got enough on his plate. So where normally we're very partnership in like, hey, I'm going to do this today. Or like the laundry's kind of been his thing for years. I've been doing laundry like through the week and trying to keep up on it because we can't spend a day doing laundry. We just don't have that kind of luxury anymore. No.
And he doesn't have the energy.
And he doesn't have the energy. It. No. And I don't want to ask him to.
I can't. I have heard from so many teachers in our building, and I'm teaching too, but at a totally different level. Sure. My teaching is kind of, you know, when teachers need me to come in to teach about writing a book review or about some aspect of research or something about the library, some media skills, then I go into a classroom and teach. I kind of push in and teach that thing. But I'm not dealing with the kind of online, offline,
right?
In-person versus virtual. Gosh, it is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely.
Goodness. So I feel like, you know, I think about the decision, even though I'm not doing that, I still am making decisions all day long about the library, about how I'm running things, about how things are going, about students.
How safe you're being.
How safe I'm being. I have to spray down tables in between class visits. Right. And we have holds that students bring in, and there's rules for Marion County about how we have to quarantine them for 72 hours before we can check them in. And the list is quite long about all the things we have to keep track of. And for me, I feel like I have to, even during the workday, I have to kind of escape a little bit during my lunchtime. Whereas I used to, for lunch, I used to kind of, just walk around, or I'd still chill in my room, but maybe at a different level. So I, a lot of times, will go into my office. I have low lighting that I'll put on, watch some YouTube or listen to music or something while I eat my lunch. And my clerk, even, she kind of jokes about me going in with my zither music. She's like, "You putting on your zither music?"
Yeah, I am.
And I'm like, "Yeah, mm-hmm. I need to do that. I gotta let it. I need a little zen for 30 minutes,
right?
So that I can deal with everything." And my office was full of boxes. So I just finally had one day where I could dig in there and unpack all my boxes. Now I actually have an office that looks like an office.
That's awesome.
So I can kind of have that 30 minutes of chill time. I mean, it's not much, but it's just enough that I can kind of get myself back in tune to go back out there.
Right.
And I feel like I need that at the beginning of the day. So like on my way to work, I do that to kind of give myself that transition between all the crazy madness in the morning of mm-hmm. the meltdowns from the wrong mask and from not wanting to go to the bathroom and you pulled my hair and all of those things.
Yeah.
I can kind of get myself in the right mindset by in my car listening to a podcast or an audiobook or some good music. Hamilton is there for me mm-hmm. right now. I mean, I'm just listening to that constantly.
Yeah, I was going to listen to that today, and that just didn't happen.
No? Oh, bummer.
That's okay.
But, yeah, so just having those ways to escape and feel peaceful, to unwind, I think is helpful for me.
Right.
To kind of deal with
I've all been this using, stuff. Like, kind of exercise, I guess, in that with all this pandemic and stuff, for those of us who really like lists and plans, it's been difficult to digest.
Yeah.
So it feels like a loss of control, and we can't control what's happening outside. And so one thing that both my husband and I like kind of kicked up our fitness, he really did, and I'm just trying to play catch up. And
you know, it does it for you.
Right. It's helpful. So planning that into my day is helpful to me, to know that they're like, okay, this is when I'm going to do my workout or my yoga or something. And this is when I'm going to take a walk. And I, you know, listen to murder podcasts, but like, that's my, it's just chill. It's just me. Yeah. And I can walk. And nobody's asking me any questions. And it might only be 30 minutes, but that is absolutely medicine to my psyche. And those kind of things, we need to keep in mind that our kids need that too.
Yeah.
Their kids need some outlet. And when they start to get frustrated and then we escalate and we make them escalate, it's just a vicious cycle. And we need to be intentional with ourselves to know when I'm about to break, that I need to step away.
Yeah.
And also with them, so that we don't take it out on each other.
Right.
You know, that's very much with the my oldest, like putting a hand up, like, we're going to stop and we're going to take a break.
Yep.
Because I can feel where this is going.
Yeah.
And we need to stop.
Everybody needs some mental health.
So we have
moments.
To be intentional. We have to be intentional about addressing that and attempting at least.
Because we want
to
keep
feel when it's coming.
Yeah, you want to keep your kids healthy in
absolutely.
The head. I mean, we all know the part of parenting is you're gonna screw up your kids a little bit.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just part it's gonna go along with it, right?
Right.
But the goal hopefully is to screw them up as little as possible.
Right.
Right. So you want to kind of prepare for, okay, we want to help you deal with this. So I want you to be mentally strong and able to
and
navigate.
And have healthy coping mechanisms for when situations like this happen.
So that there's not a full anxiety meltdown where you can't deal with things.
Right.
You know, and finding that time, finding that way to give your kids some escape when it's all hustle and bustle and busy is tough.
Right. I agree. It is tough when there's so many things that they need to do, and then there's things that have to happen at home and all these expectations that we have of them, of what they're going to do. They just need a break, too. They're experiencing decision fatigue. They just don't know how to express it.
Yeah. They just know they're tired or
they're
angry or upset.
Right.
Or my belly hurts. Sometimes it turns into my belly hurts.
Right. Right.
Right. With little kids.
Yes.
Bottom line is I think we need to give each other grace.
As we navigate this.
Yeah. It's hard for kids. This is hard for parents. It's hard for teachers.
Absolutely.
Hard for administrators, hard for everybody, right? People who are in the health field are feeling the crunch. I mean, this is just...
I mean, I'm not even taking care of patients right now, but every single patient that I review, we're evaluating those patients for COVID.
Right.
Like, that's the first thing out the gate. Is all of your symptoms COVID? No? Okay, let's look for something else.
Right.
So we're still there. We're not out of this.
No.
And we're going to be here for a while.
Yeah. So in order to you know, help each other, we have to figure out how to worry about the things we can control, the things we can actually influence, our attitude, our you know, the way we approach things. There are so many what ifs and potential problems that we can't control that just could lead to more anxiety or stress. So I think back to that word grace. We have to give each other grace and be careful with each other.
Yeah.
Because we're all souls walking around in these bodies, and sometimes we forget.
Absolutely.
That everybody who's, you know, yelling and angry and upset about stuff, even those things on social media, you know,
there's so much more down that
everybody's
worried about.
Absolutely. There's some turmoil and some you know, some heartache that all that comes from. And we have to be able to help, or we have to try to see through it and you know, just be better humans.
Be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And laugh. Oh my gosh. I know sometimes it's dark laughter. Like sometimes we're laughing at dark things, but
sometimes
I do
can be
think,
a little sardonic.
I feel like nurses and teachers have this in common that we tend to laugh at dark times and in dark situations, and our humor tends to be like the kind that probably shouldn't be shared
Absolutely.
Among people.
But those are the
who
some
aren't
of the
in the loop.
Best Facebook groups to be in.
But, you know, it's helpful. And I think teachers and nurses have learned this, that you have to figure out how to, like, see the light in the heavy.
Right. Yeah. If 2020 gave us anything, it escalated the meme game.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Meme game is out of control.
Right.
So when we look back on history, I really think memes are going to be in the history books. Which is
absolutely,
which is a little crazy.
Be like, what is a meme? We're
All
like,
right,
okay.
So let me take you back.
So there was this thing that came from China, and that's where we're gonna start.
March, 2020. Schools shut down. No, wait. I gotta take you back further than that. Wuhan, China.
Right.
Schools shut down. Everything shuts down.
Everything
All right. Anyway.
Shuts down.
So, yeah, this is
heavy. We know it's heavy. But to be fair, we have played around for the past couple of months about where do we go with this podcast and how do we talk about things that are heavy, because it's heavy right now. Everything feels heavy.
Yeah.
And
there's a
we
weight.
Can't be fake about this
no.
and pretend like everything is sunshine and rainbows, because it's not.
It's not.
So we wanted to be real and say this is what we're feeling right now with mm-hmm. all the changes that have happened. We've been through these cycles of changes over the last 6 months where we went through one and we're all shut down. And then slowly we come back out and then wait and then a little bit more and wait. And now we're back to school and hang on. Is this the right move? Nobody knows what the right move is.
Now wait
and
for
we're
it, wait
all
for it.
Feeling it. There's this like threat level midnight situation.
It is, yeah. Everybody in the office,
Michael
they've
Starn.
All got their guns out.
That's right.
And they're, you know, I'm going to the murder mystery.
You're at murder mystery.
I'm at murder mystery. Where
I'm not going down for this.
All right. I think that's where we end it,
because
we've derailed. I think we're done. So yeah, you know, be good.
We're still here.
Be good to each other. Give each other grace. And
be a kind human.
And be a good human, a kind human. Love to everybody.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.